Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Just loving this glorious Indian summer. How about you? You're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 25th and 26th. Quick reminder, number one, Tuesday, October 21st and Wednesday, October 22nd. Select South Jersey waters were loaded with big, gorgeous two-year-old rainbow trout. Quick rundown. GM Petro Park Pond had 180. Hamilton Lake, 230. Mary Elmer, 210. The Morris River, 180. Crystal Lake, 230. And Grenlock Lake, 180. On Wednesday, Greenwich Lake, 190. Iona Lake, 220. Shadler's Sandwash Pond, 160. And the Great Swedesboro Lake, 220. Just another reminder. Reminder number two. Permits for the permit bow season deadline for antlered bucks is October 1st at 11:59 p.m. When it's that late, you go to njfishandwildlife.com, click on the permit purchasing link, and go with there. For permit muzzleloader, 12-1, that's December 1st. And for permit shotgun, 12-17, that's December 17th. And speaking of hunting, big, huge shout out! 10-year-old, very, very cool kid here. 10-year-old Jackson Hertzer. Man, I call him the double-barrel kid, the side-by-side pheasant getter. He had a great first pheasant hunt, just received his hunting license, with his dad, Matt Hertzer, granddads Gary Hertzer, and another granddad, Jim Big Dog Bertini. They were at a Central Jersey preserve, and I'll tell you, the Jackson did it well. Very proud. Three generations of Hertzers. This is what it takes, people. Get the youngsters out there. Give them a quality experience, and they will love it. Even if they get away from it for a while, they will remember and possibly will get back. Again, a shout-out, 10-year-old Jackson. Hey, man, you have a hunt with Tom P. coming up? You have a hunt with Tom P.? You will love it. And best to the granddads and the dad. Three generations of Hertzers. Way to go. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull coming up. Whoa, whoa. Bear hunt. Segment A concluded. Great numbers. And also following that, we have Jim Hutchison Jr., managing editor of Fisher Magazine, talking stripers. Here we go, man. It's coming down to knuckle time. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
It's Philadelphia Flyers hockey later today on Rock 104.1 and the Rock 104.1 mobile app. Listen as Tim Saunders and Todd Fedort bring you all the exciting play-by-play action.
Back at Flint, they score! Travis Konecny! What a pass by Zamora!
It's Flyers Islanders. Later today, coverage begins at 12:30. It's Philadelphia Flyers hockey on South Jersey's classic rock station, Rock 104.1 and the Rock 104.1 mobile app.
Family.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final weekend of the glorious month of October. October 25th and 26th. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m., 50,000 megafar reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the 97.3 ESPN app or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms for the Rack and Fin Radio message, which is in podcast form. It'll be they usually put it up either Saturday afternoon or sometime by Sunday. Well, October was an incredible month. Still a few days left. And we oh, I'm bumming out, man. North Zone and South Zone duck season's end today. Oh, that's all right. Coastal Zone season's going to be, it opens up, I think, the 22nd of November. And we need some cold weather. Get these ducks on the way down. But October was pretty memorable. Great fall stocking. A couple little glitches here and there. That went well. The trout stocking, some big fish caught. But it was segment A of the black bear season up there in the five or six, whatever, management zones, bear hunting areas, whatever you want to call them, encompassing 8 counties. Check it out. First 3 days was archery, and then you had archery and muzzleloader. A couple of weeks ago, for the bear prospectus, we had on DEP, Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Wildlife Management Chief Jim Oxley, giving a prospectus of that what he thought was going to happen and the Bureau's expectations for that first segment of the bear season, pun intended. Jim Oxley hit it straight between the eyes. Here he is right now joining us with a taker. 367 Bruins. Mr. Oxley, that's what I call a successful first segment. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, Tom. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Bears everywhere, man. And we were up there that region. We saw several on the way up and on the way back. We weren't bear hunting. We're saving that for December up there. But Jim, I'll tell you, and we saw some of the beautiful, beautiful bears, bro.
Yeah. So just a real quick add on. We had 368.
Oh, 360. Oh,
really? Yeah, oh. One really late check in. Yeah, yeah. So 368. And
that is amazing.
As we were talking before the season, you know, Monday, we knew it was going to be, you know, real crappy weather and, you know, windy, rainy. So the numbers really dropped off on Monday, but the rest of the week was fantastic.
Tell you, Jim, some of the people I spoke with, hunters, some managers, if that weather had been decent Monday, you possibly had to kill over 400.
Yeah, we definitely would have. So just to give you some comparison, opening day last year, we harvested 100 bears. This year it was 55. So that's substantial. Yep. We were down 45 bears just because of the weather. The guys were coming in and saying, you know, hey, they woke up at, you know, 5 o'clock and just looked at the weather and just tapped and rolled, you know, went back to sleep, you know, postponed, either got out late or just didn't go out at all on Monday. So
it's funny on the way home, the lovely Dean reported, we were just hitting on Route 15. Says, hey, look over here. I looked there. Says, there's one escapee. It's by Jefferson. Back there, loping along at 15, and it must have read our minds, man, and the exterior hung a hard right. Like, listeners, here's the breakdown. Zone 1, 91 Bruins. Zone 2, 111. Zone 3, 102. Zone 4, 62. Zone 5, 1. And add one number in there somewhere. But, Jim, this is now it represents, what, 15.7% of those 166 bears tagged available for harvest. One more time, Mr. Oxley, can you explain that process, what that's all about?
Sure. So we have a couple of fail-safe cutoff points in there. So if our recapture rate, now recapture means, you know, in the spring we collar and tag some bears so that we know that a certain amount of those bears get harvested during segment A, that's what gives us that recapture rate. So if that recapture rate goes above 20%, which it did last year, the first, safety check in there is to cancel that four-day extension.
Right.
In December. Now, at any point in time, if that recapture rate goes above 30%, we stop the hunt altogether. And that's just to make sure there's no over-harvesting of the bears.
I don't know, man. Just from my perspective, all the years I'm up there, how can you over-harvest these things at 2 weeks? They're everywhere. I'm not putting you on the spot, but I'm saying these are the numbers. These are what the professional biologists come up with, and that's what you go with. But I'll tell you, I'll never forget the time. I stopped and I went to see it myself because the woman called into work at a place I frequent once in a while. I used to frequent, I should say, up there, and said, I can't get out of my driveway. And the guy since retired, it was establishment owner, libations and food, great little place there on 206. She said, what's the matter? She said, there is a big-ass sow in my driveway with five cubs and I can't get out. I said, doesn't she live over by such and such a lake? He said, yeah. I went, sure enough, Oxley, she had to be 500 herself with these five cubs. She was in a bay window waving to me. See? I wasn't lying. So there are bears up there. Again, listen, some of the best bear hunting based on our area in the Northeast, if not the entire country. And, Jim, from what I understand, these bears were in beautiful shape, healthy, vibrant. It was a great hunt.
Yeah, it really was. And even, like, as you were just talking about, just about every hunter that came in said they had their pick of what bears they wanted.
Yep.
There were so many on the landscape. There's definitely plenty out there. So we did get, a lot of the females were very large this year, definitely above average. So the biggest one, I don't know if you heard, there was a male, 598 pounds was the biggest one so far this year.
Now, Oxy, was that dress weight?
Yes, it was.
So you're talking 650, if not more.
Yeah, yeah, you want to add about, between 12% and 15%,
That's a lot of sausage. Full disclosure. Never mind, I'll go into that. Yeah, General Manager Mike Rubin, down there in the fridge with your name on it is a nice big, big bowl wrapped up, whatever, cigar of bear stew courtesy of Chef Tom P. Had a guy give me some. He says, I still got bear meat left from last year, Pags. You want a pack of stew? Let me think about that. Yes. Oh, Jim, absolutely great. So our bear population looks steady. If the weather holds, I suggest if you really want to try it. Oh, we're going to Maine. We're going to go up to the Adirondacks for bear. Why? Yeah. We have it right here. And Jim, it's funny because usually like the public lands here, a lot of guys around. It was pretty spread. No complaints about not interference in that term. Like another guy coming here as you're on your stand or whatever. It was pretty spread out. So you had a good spread on the take.
Yeah, it was. And it's funny because like we get a group, you know, groups of guys going out. You know, 12, 15 guys together. You know, renting a couple cabins.
Yep.
And they're going out in the morning, they're hunting bear and deer, going back out at dusk, and throughout the day they're trout fishing. I mean, like, what a great time to be. You know, it's like a good old fashioned hunt camp right here in North Jersey.
So. Hey, Oxy, we were doing trout and squirrels. Gotta get our squirrels man. Hey, some of those squirrels over there were those white oaks and those shagbark hickories, they're like armadillos.
Yeah.
Holy God.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Hey,
yeah,
funniest thing, huge. Listeners, watch a squirrel drag an ear of corn up a tree.
I've seen it. Usually from my deer stand.
So, Jim, how's it look? A little early for a segment B prospectus, but on the overall, Bureau of Wildlife Management satisfied with the harvest?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's still not sure we'll make up those bears to get where we were last year, but definitely, you know, on the right track, and we'll be happy with the harvest. You know, we could speculate and guess. We should probably be just shy of 500 bears, you know, which will be spectacular.
So. Jim, again, that one was Bear Hunting Area 5, you know, encompassing Mercer, Somerset, one bear. There are bears. Is it just the paucity of public hunting land that the because they're there? We've seen them there.
Yeah.
We've seen them. We saw one of the biggest bears I've ever seen was a Washington Crossing State Park fishing the DNR Canal. Whoa.
Yeah. So all throughout the Sourlands, they're there. I just don't know if it, I mean, it's spreading south, I think, the popularity of it. Sooner or later. I mean, there's plenty of public lands throughout the Sourlands.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a matter of time before we start seeing some big bears harvested down in Zone 1. I mean, I'm sorry, Zone 5.
Because there's plenty of food down there for them. It's optimum habitat. Well, Jim, now we have Segment B coming up. Listen, that's going to be during like what I still consider shotgun week for you know, buck season, which is, you can pretty much use on your property license. You can use anything out there. So with a moderate, because weather, that's December, capricious weather patterns, that weather is the key in that December season, because you get sleet, freezing rain and stuff, and you get a cold snap. A lot of them will go to den early.
Yeah, so unlike October, where we wanted the cold snap to come through, best thing for segment B is if it stays a little bit on the warm side. That'll definitely help the harvest.
Okay, Jim Oxley, Bureau Chief, DEP, Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Wildlife Management, with a recap of Segment A of the, I would say, very successful Segment A black bear hunt up there in the northern and some of the central tier counties. We have it next segment coming up during Shotgun Week in December. Permits are $2. They are available. No need. I guess it's family tradition. You have a cabin in the Adirondacks or up in Arista County in Maine. So that's fine. But great bear hunting right here within the confines of the fifth smallest, most densely populated state. Oxy, that still blows. I get phone calls. You got 3 million people per square mile. You got that many bears.
Yeah, they're everywhere. That's for sure.
Jim, you take care, safe travels, and hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Take care,
everybody.
Yep. Jim Oxley, great guy. Just great guy. Bureau Chief getting it done, man. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Eagles football on 97.3 ESPN. The Eagles continue the 2025 season tomorrow, hosting their NFC East rivals, the New York Giants.
Second down. Hurts fake. He's back. He's looking. He is going deep. He wants Devontae Smith. He has it. 20, 15, 10, 5.
Pre-game coverage begins at noon. Merrill and Mike call all the action starting at 1 p.m. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of October 25th and 26th. Yeah, man, that was one hell of a segment. Hey, bear hunt. Let's get back to the fishing. We're going to be talking stripers right now. The November issue of the Fisherman magazine is out. Top flight all the way. The local section, jam-packed load of great articles. On the move, big boat, big fleet. Qua Nguyen, one of the best fishermen I've ever known. And I'll tell you, when it comes to Sheep's Head, Qua has it down. But he's all about stripers and a little 15-foot skiff. Lock and Load, New Jersey Fall Winter Sea Bass by Nikki Honoshevsky. Shout out to Big Nick there, man. Great article in there. And also Tackling Todd, clearing up for a personal best by Frank Mahalik. Fairly frequent guest, and we can get hold of him. I'm Rack and Fin Radio from Century Rods. Great guy, incredible tog fisherman, and also just so willing to share the knowledge. And there's a stock update trout article in there somewhere. But as always, the key point of every issue of Fisherman Magazine is Jim Hutchinson Jr.'s editor's log. November, pick it up. If you don't subscribe, you're crazy. Subscribe or pick it up at a newsstand. Striper Decision 25. My, after reading it three or four times, my thing is, Jim, is status quo the go? Hey, Hutch, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Tom P. How are you today?
How am I? I'm talking to Hutch Jr. Before we get going, man, how's the dad? What's he catching?
Dad is good. He just helped his best buddy, Dave, move his Parker up the barn and get light. So they're just waiting on getting some good, solid intel and start going for stripers.
Listen to me. Give your dad the word. I'm hunting him down for a striper recipe. Listen, this guy's a master fish chef. I'm telling you the best. Tell him Tom P is on the hunt for Jim Hutch Sr., okay? I will track him down for that striper recipe to come on the air. Okay, Hutch, back to the stripers. All serious. Striper Decision 25, you laid it out in the absolutely incredible. Hutch, how do you come up with these, man? I'm just always. Incredible editor's log, dissected it very well. I was at meeting, so at the one meeting there in Manahawk, and you were at the other meetings. Jim, what is the take? Status quo seems to be the go from everyone I spoke to. You know me, Hutch. I'm in tackle shops from Bayonne to Cape May and around to Fortescue. That seems to be, let's just stay the way it is. What are you hearing?
It all depends on where you are along the striper coast. You ask where this stuff in the editor's log comes from. It's from sitting through meetings. It's listening to people ask questions. I'm like, and if people ask the same question meeting after meeting, I was like, wow, I should probably put the answer to that. I should try to find that answer. And I'm trying to find those answers. And not everybody likes it because not everybody likes the question. But the reason for this is what we're looking at is two separate regions. That's what's been proposed by the ASMC. So you've got this northern region and this southern region, and each region is going to be required, if it's approved next week, to take a 12% reduction as laid out for that particular region. Mm. So the northern region is going to be like, for example, Rhode Island up to Maine. So all those folks from Rhode Island up to Maine would have to take some type of one-month summer harvest closure to hit the 12%. The southern region would be, for example, Connecticut to North Carolina. And those states would have to take, for example, some fall closure of harvest, which would probably be like December. The problem is when it comes to the vote next week, I think there are 16 members of the Atlantic States Striped Bass Management Board, one from each state, plus the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, NOAA, Potomac River Commission. So this vote is going to come down to a vote, the way I see it, north versus south.
Mm-hmm.
South, predominantly, I've heard that New Jersey, heard it in Pennsylvania, heard it in Delaware. I don't know how the other areas down south are going to be. I'm pretty sure Maryland is going to be. They're leaning towards status quo. Where you have the other states like Massachusetts and I believe Connecticut, they're leaning towards the 12% reduction. So I don't know. This is going to be like going into an election or watching a Monday night football game. We're not going to know until the game's over. And that's what's going to happen next Wednesday to see how this 16-member vote, breaks down in Dewey Beach, Delaware next Wednesday.
Well, Jim, you laid it right out there. Listen, we have Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor of Fisherman Magazine, New Jersey, Delaware Bay Edition, great editorial writer, best fisheries newsman in the country. I say in the country, and that includes Guam and all the Virgin Islands. I'm telling you, man. Well, you got it down there.
There's a lot of folks that are listening to you right now. Don't believe that. They believe that I'm a liar, that I'm fake news, and anything that's written under my headline must be bad.
Well, they can kiss so, my fa- Well, anyway. Okay, Jim, on that. But I've known you for, 25 years,
the reason,
Jim?
The reason I say that, Tom, is it's important to put this out. It's important for somebody who's got some kind of journalistic background, and which is what I've got, to go out to these meetings, listen to the questions, and then try to get the answers to put it in the magazine so the people have a better understanding of what's going on. The editor's log this month simplifies it. This is what's coming down the pike, and this is why. And there's science to support both the 12% reduction and the status quo.
Right.
They're both scientifically supported. It's going to be a matter of how the board votes next week.
And a matter of how the science, the data was accrued, but that's another story. But, Jim, you laid it right out here. Again, the Stripe, unless it's a Chesapeake Striper estuary, Hutch puts in the editorial, does have its problems. But you close the paragraph with, Jim, that said, shutting down 34 days of the striped bass fishery does nothing to address those problems.
It doesn't. No, the Chesapeake as a spawning estuary, is there's something else going on. You know, it's funny, in this week's video, I did something. I went back and looked at 1996. 1996, the striped bass young of the year in the Chesapeake was at a number that's 60. Whatever the units, the number units mean, it was at 60. This year, we're at 4. 60 is a high, 4 is a low, and there's someplace in the middle that's an average, which is 10. But if I go back and look at this peak in 1996, I was like, what happened in 1996? Why was that such a good year? Well, there was the blizzard of 96, and they called it the furlough blizzard of 96 because there was a government shutdown.
Yeah. I remember that.
And the entire Chesapeake and valleys, southwest river valleys along the Chesapeake, all the way up to New York, big flooding, lots of water, major water, bad problem, bad storm, snow melt. I was like, that's what we need. It's the problem in the Chesapeake is as much Mother Nature as it is us. So you can't say putting more stripers into the spawning stock biomass is not going to address the problem in the Chesapeake. It's just not. And we got to address both problems.
And for that, you've been, I've heard some remarks. You've been sort of pilloried, Hutch, with that. When you bring that out there, it's not going to make it. Never mind. The one guy I just walked away as a, you're entitled to your opinion, even if it's wrong. I said so. And, you know, things like that are the blue catfish, which is a situation. I have a show coming up with that fairly soon with a commercial guy down there in Virginia and some people that you know. It's that's definitely a problem. But, Hutch, like you said, the closure isn't really going to address the situation. It's going to be an economic punch in the gut.
It's also, it scares me because there's this, and there's nothing wrong with catch and release. I catch and release a lot of striped bass. I'm sure that you catch and release some kind of species. I'm not sure you eat just about everything. But that said,
and I tried starfish once, Hutch, in a foreign land. I got one star. Hey, man, they were like, the hot dog carts? They had like little pinwheels. Guy said, boy, you're going to get the leaping bleeps. You eat that. I said, nah, man, no way. Well, Hutch, you had no idea.
Did you get the leaping bleeps?
Whoa. And thank God I made it back to the hotel in time, but I digress.
From an ideological point, I know a lot of guys who want to turn striped bass into the bonefish and tarpon fishery of the Northeast, which, you know, that's great. But I think they're using this as a way of getting their foot in the door to getting one. We get 1 month of a harvest closure. That's what we need. And I just think that's wrong. You know, but I think you got to look at the science. And again, I look at the science and say the spawning stock biomass is supposed to rebuild to the target that they want it to build to, but it's going to be, according to their data, 2032, not 2029. So is it unreasonable to ask for a 3-year deadline, status quo? Oh, and there's a stock assessment coming out in 2027. That may adjust the target to begin with. So why don't we just wait? That's what New Jersey folks overwhelmingly are saying.
I kept getting blared with the spawning stock biomass is collapsing, it's crashing. That's not happening.
No, it's not happening at all. The spawning stock biomass is at a level right now that is exactly where it was in 1995 when it was first declared rebuilt after the moratorium. So, and if you look at the forward progression, the technical committee is saying that spawning stock biomass target of 249, I think it is, I forget the number, that we are going to hit it. It's not going to hit it at the deadline point of 2029. It might take us until 2032 or 2033. So they say that the spawning stock biomass is still going up. But again, we're not going to know for sure what the best available science says until 2027, because next year they're going to start a benchmark stock assessment on striped bass that after the peer review, it will be available in 2027, at which point the ASMFC and the Striped Bass Management Board might be looking at different numbers. Might be higher, might be lower. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the tail end now with, what, 4 years to go on the rebuilding track of striped bass with a brand new stock assessment coming in 2027. That's why a lot of folks are justifying.
Jim, one, hey, listen, one guy the other night, he says he was pretty like the one guy that had the expletives at the meeting in Manahawk, and this guy was along the same vein. They were out there just south of, I guess, give a general. Stop at the spot burning, Tom. Stop. It was El Baron Long Branch area. Mom, you know what I'm talking about? At first, they thought they were like bluefin popping around, which happened a little farther south. These were bass, oh, Jim, all over rainfish and banchovy, small bait, and they were just blowing up everywhere. I talked to Richie Falcone on the Golden Eagle out of Belmar. He says, I put in a report, he says, write this, Pags, write this. It was better, then it got better, and then it got better, then it got even better. Then I run into a guy who was on the boat the day before. Little guy, shout out to, I think, John or Rob Perot, a little Italian guy, little quesadilla man. I had Richie on the phone. So he says, hey, Richie, my arms are still tired. I still can't lift them up. Fish, Jim, fish to 40 to 50 pound everywhere. Everywhere. And that's what he said. What problem do the stripers have? This will be the third year in a row. It's been like a fourth year or whatever. So when you see it, when you're on the water and you see it, it's tough to swallow.
The problem is, and I want people to put themselves in this position, go up to Montauk and be one of those guys off the south shore of Long Island by boat or surf, and they're not seeing the fish.
Yeah.
So the assumption is these fish aren't here. They must have disappeared. The stock must have collapsed. Now, for the last 6-7 years, county, we're talking about Belmar up to Sandy Hook. That's been the place to be in the fall. And you look at this and you're like, wow, this is crazy. This is, I've never seen anything like this. There must be a lot of stripers. Well, there's definitely a migration shift. There's definitely a feeding pattern change. This year, I'm going to tell people in Atlantic and Cape May County, keep your eyes open. Because this is not going to be the typical season. We don't have a lot of bunker off the North Jersey coast right now. That's what has kept, in my opinion, those stripers keyed in up in that particular area. Without those bunker in big numbers, those stripers are going to, I think, spread out looking for food. We could have a very different spring fall run this year, and it could be impactful from Brigantine down to Cape May and into. Let's go back into history. The Cape May rips. Could they be there?
Oh, God, I remember. No. I remember the rips and then Delaware Bay with the bunk. Listen, if you not sounding dramatic here, I think you still have a couple of days to apply for your bonus tag. Get it if you want to take a striper home for dinner, an extra one. Yeah, but Jim, now when do we have a follow up? Can we expect a follow up from this great editorial on what, man?
Well, I plan on going to the meeting. In Dewey Beach, Delaware, next Wednesday. I've already laid the groundwork for a couple of fights to see if I get called out. But I want to report there next week in my weekly video at thefisherman.com. So I will have that breaking news next Thursday. But if you want, just call me because, you know, I love jumping on with folks in South Jersey. It's great to be on Rack and Fin again.
You got it, Hutch. You take care. Remember, tell Hutch Sr., he's tracking you down, Dad. Striper recipe.
Striper dip.
You travel safe. Be good on the water. Catch some fish, man. Thanks again.
Catch them up.
See you. Hutch, he is the newsman. Okay. Hutch is the newsman. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein, producer Nick Earnshaw, and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemic join me in the studio. We will preview the Eagles-Giants rematch and talk with former Eagles linebacker and Fox 29 News Eagles analyst Gary Cobb. Hour two, we'll visit with legendary music producer and former co-owner of the famous Bachelor Threes nightclub, Charlie Waller. Then we'll get our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory of Egg Harbor Township. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, we are back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We have October 25th and 26th. We still have 5-6 days remaining in the glorious month of October. November has a lot of promise as well. Well, last week, a New Jersey Outdoor Alliance has spectacular. It was a great, great success. Sporting clay shoot at the fantastic Red Wing Sporting Clays down there in Port Republic, Suey's Landing Road. Shout out to Roger and that crew down there. Fundraising event and also pumping up Jack Cittarelli, hopefully the new governor of New Jersey, starting November 4th. Get out and vote. Join us online right now for a quick recap. Good friend of Rock and Fin Radio, if I say so myself, Johnny Regalo. He is president NJOA and always a cool guest on Rock and Fin. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Very good. How you doing?
I heard you people rock the house, man. You had Port Republic hopping and bopping, man.
It was a wonderful. We couldn't have had a better day, and the turnout was great. The NJOA team worked very well to pull everything off nice and smooth. Everybody had a great time.
And, John, from what I understand, the heavy undertones, overtones, whatever, about the upcoming election, I understand a lot of Cittarelli fans there?
Oh, yeah. We also had a lot of signage up supporting Jack, a couple of Jack flags flying.
Uh-huh.
You know, our work on this election, Jack sat down with us, listened to our concerns, gave us two people on his transition team. Mikey never replied.
No, so,
Nutshell, Jack's got our back. I'll tell you that right now.
And I'll tell you, listeners, hunting, fishing, Second Amendment, right? All that is on the ballot. It is on, maybe I say black, but it's on the ballot because the Democrats, I'm saying one or two exceptions are anti-hunting or couldn't care less about it, or are anti-hunting, anti-trapping, couldn't care less about fishing, couldn't care less about anything like that except getting votes. And they'll go whichever the way. Hunting, fishing, the backbone of conservation in Jersey. And, John, Jack, he said it's on Rack and Fit several times. He is right there with us.
Absolutely. Very, very comfortable with him and his support of the outdoor activities.
John, the tenor out there, I just had Jim Oxley on, Bureau Chief Wildlife Manager, about that fantastic segment A. A bear, it would have been a higher take even if the weather Monday had been okay. But 368 bears in the first segment. And Fish and Wildlife is working hard for our resources. Great crews there on both fisheries and wildlife side, endangered non-game species. This is intact. The Fish and Game Council is doing a wonderful job. Now, I understand Bramnick, again, a bag from Union County, where I used to live. I can't stand it. Trying to resurrect that again to change the Fish and Game Council. Regalo, that just bleeds money from the hunting and fishing groups back, you know, playing, you know, watching our backs on these prospective lawsuits.
Yes. As a matter of fact, over the last 5 years, I believe there's been multiple lawsuits, and it's unfortunate, but it's cost us nearly $500,000 in defending ourselves. Waste of time and money.
Yep.
Mr. Lesniak would do well to just go home and think of something else to do.
He's trying to remain relevant. Same thing with the disgraced former senator, Italian guy, too. That hurts my soul. The torch. I'm not going to say him. The torch, as corrupt as can be. I mean, in my opinion, he resigned, all that other good stuff. But that was 100 years ago, it seems. But the wanted to stay relevant. And the Fishing Game Council has been doing a just stupendous job. Our fish and wildlife resources couldn't be any better. The big threat is development. They're just eating up the habitat, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
It's
interesting note on that. I got to chime in on this one. I serve on a land use board in my town of Stanhope.
You're way up there in Sussex.
Yes, sir. And in order to accommodate the mandates from Trenton, we actually had to change our zoning. Redo our zoning map to allow for super intense urban development. When I went to college, I actually took New Jersey land use law class from the man who wrote the New Jersey municipal land use law. And part of that education process was that this is home rule and a town gets to decide its own future and its own community. Mandates from Trenton have no business. It's social engineering.
I was just going to say social engineering, bald-faced social engineering.
Horrible. And Jack will absolutely look into that and do what he can to change where we're at.
I said the one prominent Democrat who we're bantering back and forth, I said, you're okay, there's another 180 acres in there. Oh, you know, people have a right to live. I said, but what about all these abandoned buildings in the inner cities? Why not, you know, the regentrification, forget Jersey City, parts of Newark, where I grew up, are being regentrified. And that's where the jobs are. That's where employment is. That's where everything's the hubs, commercial, right there. Why? The roads can't take. You're getting me fired up, Regal. I should have done it. I was having a good day, John. I'm having a good day. And
you too,
coming down, and I said, this is all going to be, if not residential, another huge pad site. The roads can't handle that.
No.
The logistics aren't there, but it's all that feel-good stuff. And the people who do this don't live in those communities. They're not going to live there.
No.
They're safely away in wherever they live. They're not going to have to put up with that.
Nope. And I'll bet if you followed the money trail, somewhere Murphy's tied back into these developers that are taking advantage of this overdevelopment.
He said that, not me. Well, John, listen, congratulations on a great list. It's Jack for governor. Please vote November 4th. Don't. We had how many hundreds of thousands registered but didn't vote the last time? He has no chance. It's going to make a difference. And firearms owners, legal firearms owners,
yes.
Vote. It's going to make a time for change. Time for change. Hey, Regalo, listen, you have a good weekend up there in Stanhope area,
you
man.
You too, Tommy.
Take care. Travel safe, man. You're on the road as usual.
Yep.
We'll see you, John.
Take care.
Yeah, the importance of getting out there. It's if you drive around all over, Salem, Gloucester, parts of Camden, it's the development is coming around, and these mandates, that's where... So goes the habitat, so goes wildlife, so goes hunting and fishing opportunities as we have it. But let's get to, I just love it so much down there. And like I said, listen, I'm very fortunate. I'm able to travel the state, a lot of great places, myriad great places within the confines of the Garden State. One of my favorites in the top three is the Peninsula County. I'm talking Cape May. From when you cross into Ocean City and you get down there to Sunset Beach, it is just spectacular. All the fishing, the hunting, and freshwater fishing opportunities. No one realizes, unless you're down there a lot, what Cape May has to offer. Joining us on the line right now, good friend of Rack and Finn from Utch's Marina, Dave Masterson. We had Ernie Utch back on in June. He was fired up, man. Ernie was fired up for Cape May County in the summer. And Ernie, get better, man. You get you recover real quickly and get back to running around the marina. Well, I understand he's doing that now as we speak. Joining us online is Dave Masterson. He runs a fishing department there, great tackle shop at Utch's Marina. Talk about late October through November into December fishing opportunities in the wonderful Cape May County. Dave, great to have you back on Rack and Fin, brother. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Long time no talk to, it seems, man. Have you been? This guy's all over the place, people. Have you actually been able to fish?
I have. haven't been out recently. Still have my boat in the water, but fishing's been good.
That's always a good thing. Hey, what are you seeing now? I mean, I know the guys in Utch's, Copey and Tommy Daffin, they're heading out still on the sea bass hunt. There's resident stripers, I guess, in the back. Bass could be arriving or little. What is the Cape May bite right now as we're sitting here?
Well, there's been some pretty good back bay fishing. Some speckled trout early in the morning, of course.
The specks showed up! Dave, the specs showed up. Oh, my God. Go ahead. Sorry.
Great bass. And, there's been some bass caught along the sod banks and the creeks.
Uh-huh.
And then the jetties, of course. You know, the guys hit the jetties quite often, especially when the weather's not that good. So it's been weak fish, you know, early bite.
Nice.
You got to get out there before the sun. As the sun's coming up, that weak fish bite is typical along the jetties. And then, of course, tog. Tog are always there. You know, got to work through the small tog to get the keeper tog. But and striped bass. You know, there's striped bass along the rocks quite often.
Mm-hmm. Dave, for the bass in the back, any guy are they plugging bucktail and they swimming eels? What's the dealio?
I think most of the guys are using top water. And then
nice.
They're also using some soft plastics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very light, pink and white seems to be a good color for that back bay fishing.
Yeah. That that just amazed me. The paint. Well, Dave, listen, on the specs, I love the specs. And the weave, one thing that was about, they're members of the drum family, something about, and then the stripers too. Once that, to me, Dave, it seems that that sun gets halfway up over the horizon, they vamoose. Phew, they're gone.
So oh, absolutely.
You have to time it just right. And Dave, or now, any type of night bite going on?
I have not heard of any type of night bite other mm-hmm. than, you know, guys fishing from the surf. You know, I've heard that they have had some small bluefish, nothing of any size, but good eating size.
Oh, good. Oh, so I love my blues. Yeah, there have been a paucity of, we had some here, there, where I'm mid-coast and further down, and you hit them in pockets, like, oh, man, they're here, and I'm going crazy, and then you go the next day, 2 days, and they're gone. So, well, that's typical with the blues or lack thereof, but they have good bluefish, though.
There's been a lot of bluefish around the jetties at certain times mm-hmm. of the day. You see them schooling up and birds diving. I like catching bluefish. I enjoy eating bluefish, small ones.
Me too, absolutely. Well, Dave, listen, on to the sea bass. Is it, I mean, there's some big ones out there. It seemed that that storm we had, that vicious nor'easter, moved a lot out to deep water. Are some of the guys from the marina still making the long runs for the sea bass?
Most of the guys are fishing the inshore wrecks and reefs.
Okay.
I know Reefside 11 was producing some yeah. nice sized tog.
Yeah.
And then, you know, running off deep. I've been out to like the Jacob Jones in deep water. You know, 90 to 120 foot of water.
That's
some really nice sea bass.
Yep.
And of course, you know, with the tog season. Opening up the five fish, that's going to be the...
Yeah, well, I'm chomping at that one, man. This is going to be... We're speaking with Dave Masterson, Utch's Marina, 1121 Route 109, Schellinger's Landing there in Cape May. This is the vector. Listen, this is ground zero, the locus for fishing in Cape May County, especially lower Cape May County. Dave, you described a lot of fishing going on. People, give them a call down there, 884-2051. Information, go to the tackle shop. Dave will give you the hot info on the Cape Bite. And, Dave, not for anything, I just had some nice largemouth bass and pickerel fishing down your way. Some of those waters up there through Belle Plaine and stuff, whoo, man. You got some.
Ponder,
yeah.
Ponder Lodge. A lot of local guys would go to Ponder Lodge and the Villas.
Is that a hidden bass gem? Yeah, and it's going to get stocked in a few weeks for the November stocking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I think Ponder's going to get a 180, and it's just the Cape May, the Peninsula County people. What a gem! And it's not the summer craziness of Cape May that you used to July, August, and the early September. It is absolutely beautiful now, and the time on the water, you will love it. Dave, thanks for joining us on Rackhaven. You give Ernie and Nancy, the crew down there, my best. Hope to see you guys in a week or two.
Okay, Tom. Hey, thanks for getting in touch with us, and you take care of yourself. I'll tell Ernie you said hello.
Okay, man, do. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
See you, man. Bye-bye. I love Utch's Marina. Ernie is Ernie. You will really appreciate this guy. He's been there 90-something years. God bless him. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We're going to wrap it up on Rock and Fin Radio. The Peninsula County, Cape May. Get there. The fishing is great.
It's Sixers basketball tonight on 97.3 ESPN with the voice of the Sixers, Tom McGinnis, calling all the exciting play-by-play action.
Whoa! Petco rears back and dunks it. There's the wow factor, and the Boston fans are like, man.
It's Sixers Hornets tonight. Coverage begins at 7:30. It's Sixers basketball all season long on South Jersey's radio home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, wrapping up this weekend, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P., closing out the glorious month of October, October 25th and 26th. That was Dave Masson. Things happening down Cape May Way with the fishing. Things also happening up around Brigantine. Let's get some tournament updates. And there's another tournament's going to be happening pretty soon. Andy Grossman, Riptide Bait and Tackle, 1201 West Brigantine Avenue in Brigantine. Mr. Grossman, how you doing?
Doing great, Tom. How are you, buddy?
Good. Active stuff going on up there, Andy. What's give us some updates. What's the dealio?
We got a lot of tournaments. Well, not a lot, but we got a couple coming up. We got the Brigantine Elks tournament coming up soon on November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Open to everybody, both boaters and surf guys. They can contact me to get in. It's a fun tournament we do every year, and it benefits the Brigantine Veterans Fund in there.
Great work, Andy. Great work. You've been doing this, like you said, for years, huh?
Yeah, many years. We really enjoy it. It's part of giving back to this community and such a great community here on the Rock.
And Andy, what are the dates on that? Is that, how long is that going to run?
It's November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Okay, it's a three-day tournament.
I just want to double-check. Okay, go ahead. Now, you have another tournament that's happening, still ongoing, correct?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the Riptide Fall Derby. And it's good because we've had fish. We had our Kingfish weigh. You know, we got a Firth B in first place there with a nice 12.7-ounce Kingfish.
Nice Royal.
We got Dan M. leading the Tog with a 2-pound, 12-ounce fish. And the Bluefish is Cam H., with a 5-pounder, 5-plus-pounder right now. And it's good because the board moves. It's just starting to get, it's starting to heat up, and the stripers will be coming in soon any day. Guys in the back have been really hitting them really good, drifting any kind of eels or spot or throwing a plug early. It's been pretty good. So.
That back bite, listen, as Andy said in that massive, that back bite is on. It's going to intensify even more. Andy, I think that nasty-ass nor'easter we had made things happen. I know up north the bites, and they're moving down the coast as we speak. So any day, man, it's going to blow wide open. I think it's going to last right easily past through Thanksgiving.
I agree 100% with that, and I'm looking forward to it. It's just now starting up. You can feel the crispness in the air. You can feel the water temps dropping. They went from, I think they were like 69, 70 down to about 64, and it's right where we need them now. So it's going to be exciting. I look forward to it.
Any question? Anything behind the island in regards to the specs, you know, the speckled trout?
I haven't heard much on speckled trout, to tell you the truth, but we'll see. You never know. I always say that, and then later today somebody will bring one into me.
Gross, isn't that how it works? I'll tell you, Andy, those speck guys, man, they're like woodcock hunters or dry fly guys. Hey, they like shh and quail, shh, you know. Yep. Keep it quiet.
The weak fish guys, the weak fish, the spot, you know, they're from the same breed, and it's and I understand why they do it, you know. But
Grossman, how's your count of those Riptide Rotters?
The Riptide Rotters,
yeah,
are doing great.
Got plenty in stock, but listen, these, I don't know what he puts in a clam, but man, these clams, they come out swinging, man.
Yeah, we marinate them in the sun for 3 hours at 74 degrees and put them in the oven. Yeah, it's just our clams, and we've given them a name for almost 22 years.
Wow. Hey, Andy, let me ask you this. When are you going to take a break, man?
I don't know why. You know
why? Yeah.
I don't need to take a break. It's great. You know,
this is great. Yeah.
I love my job. I love the business. I love what I do. It's easy, so it's not really work.
Andy, on the overall angler participation from the late spring through the summer, a steady, a little downturn, a little uptick. What are you seeing on the retail end?
I thought it was great throughout the summer. You know, for our spring here was great. Our summer vacationers, we get 15 weeks almost of, you know, vacationers coming down. I think it was phenomenal.
Good.
We had a great year. Now the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks between the weather, the winds, the storm coming through, it's been a little off, but that's what happens every year. Okay. You know, you get 2 out of 3 seasons every year that are great.
Andy, one more name with the contacts for these tournaments. Go.
You can go 609-264-0440. You can go to Riptide Bait and Tackle, our Facebook page, and all the information will be there. Or, like I said, just stop by the shop. We'll take care of them.
Hey, whoa. You got those cakes there, man?
Yes, we do. Stocks Pound Cakes. Yeah, and we got the Beach Cars of Brigantine calendars now available. And 100% of those proceeds go to the True Spirit Coalition that helps families, less fortunate families in Brigantine.
Like I said, listeners, this guy is always involved in the community, as it should be. And you take care. We'll see you this week, man.
All right, Tommy, thanks. See
you. That'll wrap it up for this week on Rockin' Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out and enjoy glorious weather. So it's a little windy. So what? Okay, remember, the deadlines for the deer permits, bear permits are still open. Get out there. I think it's still time. You can. It's close. You can apply for your bonus striper tag. Get out there and enjoy it. The bass are here. Freshwater's going nuts. Deer season's going on. And don't let people tell you the rut's still a few weeks away. We saw this weekend. Yeah, he was after her. Yeah, he was snorting, and her tail was halfway up, and she was on the move. Hey, God bless America. God bless the troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.